glad for the opportunity to be with you this week. We've enjoyed ourselves. It's been good catching up with you and good teaching the Word of God to you again. And opportunity to fellowship. We've enjoyed that. We thank you for your prayers and your support. Also, we are very thankful for your kind gift to us yesterday and all the nice things you said. Did kind of sound like it was a little bit of a funeral, you know, all the things to say about the Perrys as they've passed on and are no longer with us and things like that. We're still here. We're still alive. We still love you guys. We're still happy to be a part of Westerville Bible Church. You are an encouragement to many places. When we go places, we talk about Westerville Bible Church. We talk about the youth group at Westerville Bible Church. We talk about the elders of Westerville Bible Church. And you are an encouragement and a blessing to many people across our country as well. Let me have you begin with me in Matthew chapter 18, where we've been this entire weekend. And we have looked at this Great Commission as Matthew records it for us, this final words of Jesus to his disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We looked at that on Wednesday night. Jesus' universal and absolute authority over all things and all people, that he is who he claimed to be. He is God, and he has that kind of authority. Tease that out a little bit as we thought about the authority that Jesus has and claims to have. And then on the basis of that authority, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And Pastor Pringle unfolded those to us on Thursday and Friday evening and talked about this commission of finding disciples and then fitting disciples. And as I mentioned even this morning, when we interact with people, there are really just two groups of people. There are people who are in glad submission to Jesus' universal and absolute authority, and there are people who are in rebellion to Jesus' universal and absolute authority. And when we interact with people who are in rebellion to Jesus' absolute authority, we tell them the only way that you can be right with God and be forgiven of your sin is to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and by God's grace, he offers to each who believe in Jesus forgiveness of sins paid by Jesus Christ and perfect righteous standing before God, standing in the righteousness of Christ. And so that is our constant message to the people that we interact with. And each one of us touches lives and interacts with people that others of us don't. You work with people. You live near people. You're related to people. You go to school with people like this. And so when we interact with people who are not disciples of Jesus Christ, we say you must believe in Jesus Christ and you identify with him as his disciple by water baptism. Water baptism doesn't save anyone. It's simply identifying. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And then it doesn't stop there, because when we interact with people who identify as followers of Jesus Christ, we say to them, you need to obey everything that Jesus has commanded you. And again, Pastor Pringle said something along these lines on, I think it was Thursday night, but if I were to say, how many of you are followers of Jesus Christ, I'm sure many hands would be raised. And then if I were to say, how many of you observe everything that Jesus has commanded us? Well, that's what we're shooting for. That's the goal, but I don't think any of us is there yet. And that's why we need to interact with one another on a weekly basis. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day in Jesus' name, to encourage one another, to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly as we sing and teach one another by our songs and by the Word of God. And what is our message? Our message is we need to submit every area of our lives to this universal and absolute Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mentioned Wednesday night as well that the scope of this commission, some have said, well, wasn't this just for the 11 disciples that were there? Those were the guys that Jesus was talking to. Well, on a certain level, yes, it was for them. But I think it goes to all of Jesus' disciples for a couple of reasons. First of all, in verse 18, Jesus doesn't say, you know, you have been my disciples and you have been my followers for the last 3 years, and so you take your orders from me. So on the basis of that authority, as I'm the master and you're the followers, you should go and do this. No, Jesus says, I have authority over everyone and everything. So this scope of his authority is much bigger than just the disciples. Then he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't just say, now you 11 guys, You probably know some people. You probably have interactions with some people, your families. You go talk to them. He says, this is for everyone. Now, the disciples spread far and wide, but they didn't get everywhere, okay? And so I think this commission is still in effect. And then finally, 20, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew uses his phrase end of the age a couple of times in his gospel. The other times it always has to do with when Jesus says, at the end of the age, I will return and set up my kingdom. So if Jesus has not yet returned and set up his kingdom, then I would say he is still with us, empowering us and commanding us to fulfill this great commission. So I got a little ahead of myself because I got kind of juiced up there, but we have this commission. The commission is to make disciples. On the one hand, calling people who are in rebellion to Jesus' authority to submit to his authority and to identify as his disciples, to believe in him, and for those who are his disciples, to encouraging them to obey everything that he has commanded us. Now, as we talk about that, as we think about that, even as I talked about this morning, in kind of an analogy to the people in Haggai's day, that is an overwhelming commission. That is a big job. It's a big job in our own lives as we seek to follow Christ and submit every area of our lives to his authority. But here he commands us, go to all the nations. And we say, all the nations? I don't even know if I can get to my nation. I don't even know if I can get to my city. I don't even know if I can get to my neighborhood. We have this enormous job that's been given to us, this enormous task that's been laid upon us. But Jesus closes in the first verse, in verse 18, Jesus talks about the basis for his authority to make this kind of a claim on our lives. And in verse 20, he really gives us the power that he has and the reassurance that he has how we can make this happen. And if you're thinking about this and thinking, how can we do this? And some of the things that I tried to challenge you with on yesterday afternoon, some of you, I could tell the way you were looking, you were thinking, what does he think? We're all supposed to just move to Chile or something like that? And you certainly could. That would be great. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think many of you, God says, no, right now, right here, this is where you need to be. And how can we do this? And you think, this is an overwhelming thing. How can I do all of this sort of thing? And I think, first of all, we ought to get away from saying, why would Jesus want me to do all that? And maybe reframe the question is, what would I not do for Jesus? What would be the limits where I would say, you know, that would just be too much for me to do for Jesus who died for me? And I think the answer to that is there would be nothing, no sacrifice that would be too great for that. But again, we say this is an overwhelming sort of thing. How can this happen? And Jesus says, I am with you always. Jesus doesn't say, okay, go get them. You know, we all hate an assignment like that when someone says, all right, here's this enormous project. It's very difficult. I don't know that the end's in sight. All right, everyone, go out there and get it. And I'll be back here. And if you need anything, report back and let me know how it goes. Jesus says, no, I am with you. Now, clearly, he's about to ascend to heaven, but he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus is with us. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I'll tell you one way that it looks like. In Revelation chapter 1, when John sees Jesus, and he sees him as he is in his glory, he's terrified because it is an absolutely mind-boggling vision, one that takes in all the visions of God from the prophets in the Old Testament, and you can hear just shreds of Ezekiel's vision and Isaiah's vision and Daniel's vision when they saw God and God revealed himself to them. All of these are cast together in the person of Jesus Christ, and John is terrified. But what does he see Jesus doing? Is Jesus in a heavenly recliner saying, I did my thing, now we'll wait for you guys? No, he's walking among the lampstands. And John says the lampstands are his churches. And the next couple chapters talk about these churches, and these are some tough little churches. Things are not great. These are not big churches. These are not awesome churches. These are churches with problems, with sin. And Jesus is caring for those churches because he loves those churches. He died for them. And I think that's exactly what he promised. He said, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Loves his church. I want tonight then to look at one other example of how Jesus is with us, and that is in Acts chapter 18, which we read. And here we have the Apostle Paul. He is traveling. He is traveling through Greece, and he is doing the exact thing that Jesus commanded his disciples to do. And we read it as Tom read it. I mean, it was like line after line, he's doing exactly what Jesus commanded. And again, that's another reason why I would say this commission is for more than just the 11 disciples, because this is exactly what Paul is doing. He's going to all the nations. He's going to Jews. He's going to Gentiles. And what is he telling them? He's telling them over and over, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is exactly who he said he is. You need to believe in him. When people reject him, he says, fine, I'll go talk to these people. And he just goes from one after another. People believe, and he's teaching them, and he's telling them, here's what the Word of God says. But there is opposition, and there are difficulties, and there are people who are against him. And in verses 9 and 10, Paul is given a vision one night from the Lord. And verse 9 says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people.'" So Paul has a vision of the Lord. And your Bible may be a red letter edition, it may not, mine is. And these words are actually in red because I believe these are exactly the words of Jesus. And the word in the book of Acts, when it speaks of the Lord, it's almost always talking about Jesus. And so Jesus himself appears to Paul in the midst of Paul trying to fulfill this commission that Jesus has given and experiencing difficulty and hardship. And Jesus appears to Paul and he says, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Why? For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." So I think those same words would come to us as we are involved and engaged in carrying out the Great Commission. And it may be something simple, it may be something that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it kind of smarts a little bit. We try to give the gospel to someone, and we're rebuffed, or someone says, "No thanks, I'm not interested." Or perhaps there is active persecution. Someone says, "Because of your beliefs, your career track is cut off at this point." Or maybe you have family members who cut you off because of this. Or whatever it may be, and we may say, "Boy, maybe I should just kind of backpedal on this. Maybe I should take this off." Did Jesus know just how hard this was going to be to carry out this commission? And Jesus here says to Paul, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And we see that over and over from the mouth of Jesus to his disciples. Read through the Gospels and count how many times he tells his disciples, "Do not be afraid." He says, instead, "Go on speaking and do not be silent." So if we are in the process or we are in the midst of carrying out the Great Commission and because of obstacles, we may say, "I'm fearful, I am tempted to stop speaking and rather to be silent." Then here's what Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, go on speaking and do not be silent." And he gives these reasons why we should not be afraid to proclaim God's word or why we should not be afraid to continue to obey the Great Commission and to make disciples and to tell people who are in rebellion against God, you need to believe in Jesus Christ and stop relying on your own self to get yourself right with God. There's no way you can do it. Turn from your sin and self-reliance. Believe in Jesus Christ. And as we are interacting with believers, that's not always an easy thing either. There may be some who say, "I don't want to hear anymore. I'm not interested in that anymore," or whatever it is. But we go on speaking. And we ought not to be afraid. Why? Three things from verse 10 there. Number one, he says, "For I am with you." Secondly, he says, "No one will attack you to harm you." And third, he says, "I have many in this city who are my people." So three very simple reasons why we should not be afraid to proclaim God's word, why we should not be afraid to continue pressing forward, obeying Jesus' great commission, as we've heard it laid out very clearly for us this past weekend. Number one, God's presence. He is with us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, remember, what does he say? "We can boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? I will never leave you or forsake you,'" God says. Psalm 139, "Where can we go from God's Spirit?" Answer, nowhere. God is with us. And of course, Matthew 28, Jesus himself says, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Jesus is with us. So God's presence encourages us not to be afraid and to continue to obey His great commission. This is exactly what Jesus says to Paul. Secondly, God's protection. He says, no one will attack you to harm you. He says, you are protected by me. God is in sovereign control of our lives. Now, if you're like me, oftentimes you're trying to think of, wait a second, what happened to Paul? Did no one ever hurt him or no one ever attacked him to harm him? If I'm understanding correctly, Paul talks about some of the things that happened. It sounded like a lot of people attacked him to harm him. He was beaten, he was flogged, and ultimately he lost his head over all of this. So what happened there? And am I trying to say to you, if you obey God and you obey the Great Commission, nothing is ever going to happen to you. You will be untouchable. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's a promise that I'm prepared to make. But we do have the assurance of God's protection in that we are always under His sovereign control. That no one will ever hurt us apart from God's allowance of it. And that everything that God allows into our life is actually ordained for our good and His glory. So we get back to the Great Commission again in Matthew 28:18, where Jesus says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. That means that every government in the world is under the authority of Jesus Christ. That means that every person who might want to hurt Christians in the world is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And none of that happens apart from His allowance and His permission. And so I don't have to worry about someone going rogue and doing something terrible to me that I had no idea was coming. Instead, I can say the only way something would happen to me would be if, in God's perfect knowledge and perfect providence, He knew that this was best. And so Paul could say in Philippians chapter 1, whether by life or by death, I just want Christ to be magnified, because for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's actually not a bad thing at all. So we're assured of God's protection. We don't have to say, like I was talking about this morning in Sunday school, I have to be really careful and protect my life. I have to watch out, because if I don't take care of my life, who's going to take care of my life? God is in control of my life. And if I try to save and protect my life, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to waste it. But if I lose my life and abandon my life for Jesus Christ, then I've actually made it worthwhile. So we shouldn't be afraid to obey the Great Commission, even if we experience pushback or persecution, and that day may fast be coming. And I think we do well now to think in our minds and hearts, what would I not give, or what would I not sacrifice for Jesus Christ? What would I not be willing to sacrifice for Jesus Christ? And God is in sovereign control of my life. And I can rest in that, and I can continue to go on speaking and not be silent, because God is in sovereign control of my life. And then third, he says, for I have many in this city who are my people. I have many in this city who are my people. Third reason that we should not be afraid to proclaim God's word is because of God's people. That God has people whom he will save. And how will he save them? He will save them by the message that is preached. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 10, how are they going to call on someone they've never heard of? And how are they going to hear about someone unless somebody goes and tells them? God has people whom he will save. He has people whom he's chosen, but they need to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So they need to be told. God is calling on us to obey, and there are people there whom God will save. And so we ought not to be afraid, but to go on speaking and not be silent, because God has people in our city, in our country, in other countries as well, who are his people, and they need to hear the message. These three things should keep us, they should encourage us not to be afraid, to continue to proclaim God's word and to obey the Great Commission. Three things, though, I think that also these verses do for us, and kind of a little wrap up and some thinking as we think about missions. And when I say missions, as I always do, I don't mean just missions out there, missions on the map. I mean missions when we leave here, okay? And even as we're part of here, as we're encouraging one another to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us, but everywhere we go, we are on assignment. We are on mission. We are there as disciples, ambassadors of Christ, as his disciples, saying to the world, you must repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. And when we meet Christians, we say, you need to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. Three things, just briefly. I think, first of all, these verses inform our understanding of missionary philosophy and methods, right? Disciple-making might not be as dependent on us as we might like to think, okay? And here's what I mean by that. When God says, I have many in this city who are my people, we might think, well, what is going to happen if I don't succeed in my task, if I don't bring people in? God has his people, right? And we rest in that, and we trust in that. And that is really our only hope, that God is going to save people through the message that we proclaim. So it's not so much like, oh no, I said the wrong thing and now this person is upset with me, now we'll never get saved. God is the one who changes hearts. He changes the hearts of people who are absolutely antagonistic to him, and they're gloriously saved. And he saves the hearts of little girls who are in rebellion against him, and they're gloriously saved. God is the one who does that. So it might help us, I think, to think about what we're doing. It's not a matter of, well, if I get the right technique, then that will be the key. It's not so much that. It's the faithful and continued preaching of God's word, the proclaiming of God's word. And through your weakness and through your bumbling tongues and through your and my frustration and difficulty and fear, we give the gospel, and God gloriously saves people through a message that is foolishness to them, but because God turns on the lights for them, they believe. So we should go on speaking because God has people who will be saved. Secondly, I think they prevent our discouragement in missions. And I say that because of a couple things. He says, I have many in the city who are my people, and we should go on speaking. We are speaking and ministering to God's people. They're not necessarily ours. We may look at them and say, well, what about, you know, we've lost this or we aren't making this. We're seeking to minister to God's people and not our own. So we should not be afraid. God has people that he will save. And that is actually a great encouragement, not a discouragement to say, well, I don't know who the people are that God has chosen, but to say, I could never save anybody even if I knew who they were. I'm going to give the gospel indiscriminately to as many people as possible. I'm going to give it fervently. I'm going to give it constantly, so that God's people will be saved and he'll save them. And then finally, they expand our scope of the missionary task. We are to make disciples in all the nations, anywhere that God is with us. Okay? You say, well, what is the limits of the Great Commission? Well, as long as you're in one of all of the nations, that's one place, and as long as you're anywhere where Jesus is with you, there you should be fulfilling the Great Commission. So that means pretty much everywhere. That means whether it's in Ohio, that whether means whether it's in southern Ohio with the Pringles, whether it's any other place that our missionaries are, that is a place that Christians ought to be doing the Great Commission. And we ought to be encouraged and to go on speaking, not be afraid, but not be silent, go on speaking. So I trust that you have been encouraged this week as you've thought about the Great Commission. It is a great responsibility, and I hope that was laid on you and you felt the authority of Jesus Christ commanding you, not giving you an option. Now, would you like to obey the Great Commission or not? But his authority says you must do this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must obey the things he's commanded us to do. But his presence goes with us, and it encourages us. And when we look at an overwhelming task, we may be discouraged like the people in Haggai's day, but we don't need to be afraid. We can be strong and continue to work, because God is with us. And Jesus himself says, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We hold it close. We desire to understand it and know it because it gives life. And I thank you for this group of believers and how they love your word and how they desire to obey it. And I pray that you might give them the grace to obey it in great measure, that they would submit every area of their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we interact with people, which we all do on a daily basis, who do not know you, give us wisdom to speak, give us boldness to preach the word, as it were, as boldly as it ought to be proclaimed. Give us sympathy and kindness and pity on those who are dying in their sin. Give us a desire to see your name glorified by the nations. Give us, Lord, a desire to spend everything that we have, our time, our resources, our energy, to spend everything for you and to see you glorified. And we pray that whether by our lives or by our death, Jesus Christ would be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.